Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Digital Diary. I am your host, Hannah Elise. I wanted to switch up my usual format today and just get right into the topic that I want to talk about because this is fresh in my mind. And I feel like if I go and talk about random shit, like life update stuff, I will forget it. And today's episode and topic are very near and dear to my heart because this is something that I feel like I have found myself having to do quite often. And so today I wanted to talk about breaking out of an anxiety spiral or how I pull myself out of an anxiety spiral when I feel myself just going down a downward spiral of anxiety. These can come up for a multitude of different reasons. Usually I get anxious or overwhelmed with something. It may be work, it may be social things I need to do, anything. I get overwhelmed and then I get anxiety because of those things. Because I'm feeling overwhelmed, it kind of turns into anxiety. And then I kind of just don't want to do anything. And I sit there almost unable to do any of the things I need to do because I am anxious about them. But then the fact that I'm not doing anything creates more anxiety. So as you can see, this is a downward spiral. It all just feeds into itself. And it's very easy for this downward spiral to go down fast and to get caught in this quickly and just feel like it's really difficult to break out of. And I wanted to talk about this because I'm feeling a little bit of this today. Definitely not nearly as bad as it has been before or even as bad as it's been in the last like couple months. But I just feel a mini spiral today beginning. And I wanted to make this episode because I am consciously breaking out of that before it kind of takes me all the way down. And hear me out on this one, but the other day I was researching how to break out of a riptide, like in the ocean. And then this morning when I was thinking about what I wanted to record and what I wanted to say and just the overall kind of concept of breaking out of an anxiety spiral, I thought back to what I read about the riptide. And call me crazy, but the concepts of breaking out of both a riptide and an anxiety spiral, in my mind, aren't that different. And let me explain. First of all, for anyone who may need to know, I think this is important for everyone to know if you're ever planning on going in the ocean, how to break out of a riptide. Again, you can just look this up on Google. I read about it in like 5 minutes, but essentially, a rip current is a specific type of water current. It is a strong, localized, and narrow current of water that moves directly away from the shore by cutting through lines of breaking waves like a river flowing out to sea. That is the definition, paraphrased, of a rip current. And the reason I even was Googling this the other day is because I was planning on going to the beach earlier in the week and it said that there was like a rip current warning. So they were more likely to happen at the beach I was planning on going to. I ended up just not going because I want to swim and I don't want to have to worry about getting caught in a rip current because that sounds absolutely terrifying. But it led me to Google how to break out of one. And I feel like that's just something good to know if just in general, if you go in the ocean. So bringing us back to today's topic, anxiety spiral. The way that I just described an anxiety spiral to you is kind of, if you think about it and like tilt your head and squint one eye, and it kind of feels similar to a rip current. So the key takeaways that I read on Google, and again, I'm not an expert, you can Google this for yourself, of how to break out of a rip current is if you feel yourself getting caught in one, first of all, do not panic because it's not going to pull you under. It's just going to pull you out into the ocean deeper. Second, do not try to swim directly back to shore when you are caught in a rip current because it's not going to work and you're just going to expend a lot of energy doing that, getting nowhere. It's going to fluster you more. get you more worked up, more scared. So you don't want to swim like a direct line back to shore. What I read essentially is that you should swim parallel to shore. No matter where you are in the water, just kind of swim parallel to the shore. And then once you've gotten to that point, you should like swim diagonal back to shore, not directly back, so that you don't get caught in another rip current. I hope that was correct. That's like the key points of what I read. So each part of what I just said in each step, genuinely in my mind, and again, call me crazy, feels like getting caught in an anxiety spiral. The first thing to keep in mind when dealing with a rip current or an anxiety spiral is to try not to panic. And I know that that sounds ridiculous, because if you feel yourself getting caught in anything of force, you're going to want to panic. That's our natural instinct. And these things are scary. They're hard to deal with physically and mentally and emotionally, but panicking can lead you to try to do or want to do the second thing that I mentioned, which is swim directly back to shore. And the reason you don't want to do that is because you're going to expend a lot of energy and it's honestly not going to be helpful. With an anxiety spiral, the first thing that I think is important to do when you notice that you are going through one, and this is going to sound counterproductive, I know, but this is something that I have kind of discovered with my own how I deal with anxiety spirals in the last couple months. And it's that when I feel myself falling down an anxiety spiral, when I freak out and I'm like, oh my God, this can't happen. I need to do XYZ. I need to get my shit together. I need to get back to my routine. I need to make sure everything is fine and as quickly as possible. It prolongs the anxiety spiral and it drains me faster. Just like you get pulled out in a rip current, trying to swim directly back to shore as quickly as possible and get out of the current as quickly as possible will leave you more exhausted physically. It will leave you in a more panicked state, and it is not the most effective. It's honestly the same with an anxiety spiral. My first thing that I have started to do when I feel myself going down one of these is allowing myself almost to just do nothing, which, as I just said, a reason I get anxiety spirals is because I have so much to do and I'm not doing anything. So it does sound counterproductive for me to now say my first thing that I've been starting to do is just do nothing. But I've realized I'm able to formulate my kind of plan of escape out of the anxiety spiral, and I've been able to gain more energy and more determination to get the shit done that I need to do when I acknowledge how I'm feeling. I acknowledge that I'm very overwhelmed and that everything feels very jumbled and I'm going down this spiral of anxiety. And I just let myself sit and breathe. And I turn my thoughts off. I don't let myself think about all the things I need to do. I kind of just let myself go idle. And I've noticed that doing this has helped me to recoup my energy faster. If I am actively fighting against this spiral and trying to just go directly back out of it as fast as possible and just get my shit together quickly because I feel like I need to be go, go, go. I need to get this figured out right this second. I feel worse. I feel more anxiety because then I feel like I'm kind of forcing myself to get my shit together and I'm forcing myself to get out of this as quickly as possible so I can get back on schedule, and I'm not giving myself a break that I might need. I might be feeling overwhelmed because there's a lot going on and maybe I just need a second to just do nothing or to think about nothing and just have a moment of being idle so that I can recoup some of my energy and tackle what I need to do. When I try to just ignore all of that, though, when I try to just ignore how I'm feeling and get right back into what I need to do, I burn out so quickly. And it is more exhausting because then I have more anxiety because I'm forcing myself to do these things despite the anxiety I'm feeling. And there are times where I do have to do that, where I do have to like kind of force myself or push myself harder to get things done. If I have something that like is really, really important and needs to be done, I'll do it, obviously. But most of the time, it's just not a fire drill. Most things are not a fire drill. It's not life or death, whether I do this thing right now or in 3 hours. It's really not. Everyone's going to be okay. I've noticed that taking that time, it could be any length of time. For my more intense anxiety spirals, I've had to take a whole day up to a few days to just be idle and to recoup my energy. It kind of feels like you're recharging. Like when you put your phone on your charger, your phone charges faster. Oh my God, wait, I just thought of this. This is so smart of me. This also is a good way to think of it. When you put your phone on its charger, it charges quicker when you're not using it. It charges quicker when you let it just sit there for a little bit, rather than if you put it on its charger and you use it while it's charging, it's not going to charge as fast because you are expending energy by using it while also gaining energy by charging it. So it's charging slower because you're also using the energy that you're putting in it via the charger. You know what I mean? You know how phone charging works. It's the same thing with yourself. I can't believe I just thought of this. I just had like a light bulb moment. You recharge faster when you're not expending your energy on other things. If you just let yourself sit and recharge without having distractions, without having other things you're doing or thinking about, you'll recharge faster. That is, sorry, I'm having an epiphany right now, if you couldn't tell. So at first glance, it seems counterproductive to just stop everything when you feel yourself getting caught in an anxiety spiral. But when you think about it, you're just letting yourself recharge quicker and just giving yourself a minute to breathe, because sometimes that's all you need. Sometimes that is what you need, is a minute to breathe. And giving yourself that is so important for your energy and also for your support of yourself. So then once I've done that, okay, the next thing is escaping it. As I already said, you don't want to swim directly back to shore. And I'm a visual learner, so I'm picturing this. I might even like make a graphic of this or something and put it on the Instagram. The Instagram is Digital Diary Pod, and so that you can see what I mean with what I'm thinking in my head right now, because I'm looking at a visual of how to escape a rip current, and it's like exactly translating to how I'm thinking of escaping a anxiety spiral. How many times have I said anxiety spiral? I can't even say it anymore. When you have enough energy to escape the anxiety spiral, I have found it more effective for myself to swim parallel to the shore in rip current terms than to swim directly back to shore. What I mean by this loosely is I'm not immediately kind of snapping back into getting right back into my shit and making sure that I have absolutely everything together and I'm completely out of this. I'm kind of working with what I've got. And I'm working at the point that I am at. I'm not expecting myself to make it back to baseline, to make it back to fully functioning, productive, determined, fully charged, energetic, right after being pulled into an anxiety spiral. I am taking where I'm at and I'm moving out of it with what I have right now and accepting that that's okay. And that's actually going to be more effective for me because I am expending less energy, working with the circumstances that I have, but still making progress and still progressing towards my goal of escaping the anxiety spiral. So then, once I have swam parallel to the shore, if you will, the next and final step of escaping a rip current is to swim back to shore at an angle. Where the current will take you from is a wider area than where it will pull you out. So it's kind of like a funnel, if you think about it. So the funnel is by the shore, and it's a wider area. And then when you get caught in that funnel, you kind of get narrowed in, and it becomes narrower as it goes out. So have that visual in your head. You want to swim back to shore at an angle. You want to avoid getting caught in the same thing you were caught in originally. I think that this concept applies to an anxiety spiral also. As you are coming back to baseline, as you are returning to your normal, fully functional level and full energy and all of that, breaking out of this spiral, you don't want to swim back directly into where the spiral caught you in the first place. So in order to avoid that, we have to change course. Something has to change, or else we're going to keep falling into that same spiral every single time. We want to swim at a metaphorical angle at when we're returning back to shore. Something needs to change. We need to end up back at a different point than we started at in order to avoid all of this just happening again. This change can take, again, a variety of different forms. It's different for everybody, and it's different for every situation that brought you into this anxiety spiral. For myself, I'll just make something up as an example, because I haven't even thought this through with my own life yet, because I just got this idea to talk about this like an hour ago. So we're doing this in real time. I'm talking through this with you and coming up with the solutions in real time. Maybe it's my current time management skills and procrastination that are what's pulling me into the anxiety spiral. So when I'm escaping the anxiety spiral and I'm swimming back to shore, I don't want to swim directly back to those same tendencies, because then what's going to happen? It's all just going to happen again. I'm doing the same things expecting a different result, and it's not going to work. In order to get out of this area that I keep falling into the anxiety spiral through, I need to go somewhere else. I need to change my current tactics. I need to change the way that I'm approaching tasks so that I avoid all of this. That change could look like better time management skills, better planning, more self-discipline. I feel like it really, for me, is more self-discipline. And Emma Chamberlain just posted a podcast episode a week or so ago about, could be 2 weeks, I don't know, about self-discipline. I recommend anyone who feels that they struggle with self-discipline to go listen to that episode, because I really enjoyed that episode. And just hearing somebody else talk about it was so helpful and so relatable to me, because it's something that I know that I struggle with. So just knowing you're not alone is really comforting in a way, but also she gave good advice on how to practice more self-discipline and how to get better at being disciplined with yourself. And I think that it's just really, it's a good lesson. But those are just a few examples of things that I know that I can change to avoid all of this happening again and just getting caught in the same spiral at a different time. That is the overview of how I escape an anxiety spiral in a nutshell. Now, obviously, it is more complex than just that, but I just thought that was such an interesting visual that my brain came up with, and I had to share it. But obviously, you know, anxiety is difficult. It's not a cookie cutter response. It's not cut and dry. It's not easy to get out of, especially when it's something that you struggle with every single day, as I do. I know that it's not something that you just snap your fingers and you conquer. Most of the time, it is a long-term process. It's not something that happens overnight. It's kind of an acquired, almost like you're building the muscle so that it gets stronger, building the muscle of being able to break out of this. You're like training yourself. And over time, after you've done it multiple times and you've continued trying, you will get stronger and you'll get better at it. Also, they're like cutting into the sidewalk outside. I really apologize if you can hear that, but there's always something. Anyway, some of the themes of what I just talked about that I would like to pull out that I think are important to keep in mind include, but are not limited to, having grace with yourself. I think that allowing yourself to go idle and just give yourself time, however much that means for you, to breathe and to just shut out all of the thoughts that you're worrying about in an effort to recharge faster is showing yourself grace and caring about yourself and putting yourself first. And that goes a long way with yourself. Also, I think it's important to work with what you have. Do the best that you can with what you have at the time. When you're escaping the anxiety spiral and you're swimming parallel to shore, not just directly back to shore, you're working with the circumstances you have and you're doing the best that you can with where you are at the time. And that is all you can do. You can't expect yourself to do your best, whatever your best looks like when you're at 100%, while you're feeling like 50% or 30%. You can't give 100% of 100% when you're only at 30%. But what you can do is give 100% of 30%. Work with what you have. And then, finally, once you feel like you've kind of gotten your bearings a bit, you feel a little bit more stable, make a conscious change or conscious changes to what you're doing in the first place to avoid falling back into that same spiral. You know best what you need to change and what you can do better. So be honest with yourself, be real with yourself. Don't be hard on yourself, but just know that you can do better and know that you're going to feel better once you do better. And it's all going to feed into better everything, better quality of life, better work practices or ways that you approach things, better mindsets. Just know that you are capable of more and you deserve to do the best that you can. And if that means making changes so that you don't fall back into those same spirals, then that's what it means. You don't have to like be hard on yourself about it, but it's just recognizing that you are great and you deserve to feel great and do great. I know it's hard and I know it can be really scary and overwhelming and just, again, add more and more anxiety when you feel yourself getting caught in an anxiety spiral and pulled further down it, but it will not bring you down below the water unless you let it. It will pull you out further into the ocean or it will pull you further into your spiral. But it's not going to just completely take you out. An anxiety spiral is not going to completely take you out if you don't let it. Keeping your wits about you can be very difficult. And again, it's something that you're going to acquire over time. When you do it multiple times and you do it over and over and you practice, you get stronger. You build that muscle and it becomes more second nature. It's a stronger response. You get better at it. You're better at doing it quicker. You're better at recognizing it. It all just comes with practice, though, and repetition. You can't expect yourself to be perfect overnight. It's not how it works. I wish it did, okay? If anyone wishes it did, it's definitely freaking me and probably everybody else listening to this, but I get it is what I mean. But it will eventually if you keep trying and don't give up, even though it's hard. That is essentially an overview, big picture of how I view breaking out of my own anxiety spirals. Again, what the fuck do I know? I'm a 24-year-old girl who's had anxiety for like 10 years. I guess that's what I know, is I've just done it for a long time and I'm learning these things as I go. This is something new that I've just discovered. The correlation between this and the rip current and just the things that I feel help me the most when I'm in a situation like this. And I thought it was really important for me to share this with you. in case you needed to hear it or you wanted a different perspective. I know everyone's methods are different. It's not going to be a cookie cutter response because anxiety does not warrant a cookie cutter response since it's so different for everyone. But sometimes a framework like what I've kind of just given you, actually not even sometimes, all the time, it can be altered and tailored to yourself. That's the point of like a framework. It's the bare bones, but you can fill in the rest with what works best for you. That's what I wanted to say about breaking out of an anxiety spiral. And honestly, I feel so much better right now. It's just sitting here and thinking about my own. When I think about it this way, in this logical kind of sequential method of how to break out of it, it helps me to see what's next and know what I can be doing. Because it's really easy to feel like there's nothing you can do and that you're just lost and you're just kind of floating in that spiral and you can't break out of it. It's really easy to feel that way. And I have felt that way before. I felt that way like 2 weeks ago. But kind of keeping in the back of your mind that there is a sequence of things that you can do to help yourself, I think is valuable. That is what I wanted to say for today's topic. Now maybe I can just bullshit for like 5 or 10 minutes with my life, since I didn't do that at the beginning and I usually do. First and foremost, since I always talk about the weather on this fucking podcast, it has been so ungodly hot and humid, specifically humid, here for the past like 3 weeks. When you walk outside, it feels like you're simply walking into a sauna. Just a force field of moisture. I feel like I'm walking into moisture, and I don't like the word moist. So for me to be saying the word moist in this context, and so often, I'm very serious about it. That's how you know it's real. If you've been dealing with this freaking humidity, you know what I mean. Not a good time. But it's all right. I am very grateful for my AC unit, which is literally still leaking water. It stopped leaking water. Did I talk about this in the last episode? If I did, I don't remember. If I didn't, my AC unit has been leaking water inside. I can't pull it out of my window myself. So I just literally set up a bucket inside of my apartment to catch the water coming through that's dripping inside of my apartment. And it stopped leaking for like a week. And now it's leaking again. So that's good. I probably should have someone look at that because I know that that's not supposed to happen. But I am still grateful for it. And I'm grateful for my bucket that I put there so that I can continue using it because it is so ungodly hot and I need to be comfortable in my own apartment. And I'm very grateful for AC units. I'm also grateful for fans. I have two of those. I'm not going to be grateful for my electric bill. I don't even want to know. I seriously don't even want to know what it's going to be. But that's that. Something I'm really excited about right now is I'm getting a new camera. I'm so excited. If you didn't know, I do YouTube. YouTube is my main thing. I've been doing it for like over 6 years now. And I have had my same like main camera, the Canon M50. I got that a few years ago, probably like 3 or 4 years ago now. It serves me so well. I love that camera. But the bottom part of it has been like breaking off. Like where you connect it to a tripod and like screw the tripod in has been breaking off over time. So there's just like big chunks of pieces missing. And I don't know. I just was thinking about getting a new camera. And so I got a brand deal offer from Best Buy and Canon for one of Canon's new cameras. Are you kidding me? And it's very similar to the one that I have. It's a different, like, I don't know what they're called, like line. It's a different line of cameras, but it's still a mirrorless one. It's very similar to what I have. But from what I understand, from what I've read about it, which is a lot because I'm very excited to receive it and I think I'm getting it tomorrow. Ah! Stay tuned for my TikTok and reel about it. I can't wait. I'm going to unbox it, I think. Potentially on there. I can't wait. Cannot wait. I love new electronics. I love playing with them. I haven't gotten a new camera in years. So I'm so excited, and I'm hoping that the quality will be better or something, you know. I'm hoping that it'll add something new to my videos. If you follow me or subscribe to me on YouTube, then you will see it in action. I want to film my video for this coming Sunday on this camera because, of course, what's the point of getting a new camera if I don't use it? And I'm so excited to use it. So I want to film my next video on this camera. Stay tuned for that. If you didn't know that I have a YouTube channel, I do. It's just my name, Hannah Elise. But that's all I have, I think, for today. I hope you found this episode helpful. I hope you enjoyed it. And I am so grateful for you. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have an amazing rest of your day and an amazing rest of your week. And I will talk to you again next week with a brand new episode. Bye.